And they had that time where, and we were invested in with our 401k, and I know we noticed the stock going down because, you know, they had the billboard where the stock was going from. And what happened is during that dispensation, it was during that Martha Stewart time, and the top wigs were pulling out their stock out of a major finance company, and they were telling us not to panic, don't pull your money, keep it there. And the whole time, we saw our amounts of money decreasing.
Of course.
But what they did, they robbed us, is what they did. Anderson, J.P. Morgan, they robbed us, okay? And so by the time they got through, most of them quit the corporation, but they didn't quit until after they got their money.
After they got it.
And so they don't care about the whole significance behind them, William, is what I can get, who, and I'll use this word, and I'll use it strongly, rape people from their own commodities. I'm just going to be real. When it comes to their finances and their better hopes of living, their retirement. One lady had buku money up there, okay? And they told her not to move it. But by the time they got through, she was crying because she was getting ready to retire the next year, and she had to stay on an additional 5-10 years because they took her money. And we have investors, Vanguard, we have investors that would invest our money, but they couldn't invest our money because it was on hold, okay? They couldn't move your stock here and move your stock there because the greedy got real greedy and took all of our money along with theirs.
Oh, Dr. Dimmer, you got something to say.
Oh, no, no, I'm just listening because this is out of my wheelhouse. I mean, I own a few stocks and whatnot, but nothing to the extent that you guys do. So, you know, this is all education to me.
Well, let me share something with you and the audience. I remember being in, obviously we have to do, as brokers, agents, advisors, we have to do continuing education. We also have to attend workshops each and every year. You have to keep your information together, and because things change, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember being, and oh my God, I'm going back some 10, 15 years, and I was in a training class. And something has always bothered me about this industry that I'm a part of. And that's probably why I've been fired a couple of times too, because I opened my mouth, okay. I wear it like a badge of honor. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, you're real proud.
Because what, and you guys, this is going to blow your mind. Each and every company talk about client first. We're all in it for the client. That's a lie. Wow. They're in it for profits. They're in it for profits, and I got fired because I challenged the system a bunch of times. And I thought, and it doesn't matter if you're a problem for these people. I'm laughing
they
because
move you out of the way. Come on,
and I'm gonna tell you,
get rid of you.
How in the world I am broker of the year 2 years in a row and I get fired?
In
the world.
You're too smart. You done got smart with it.
Yeah, because guess what? I thought that I could say what I wanted to say, and there's no reason. There's no way they're going to get rid of me because I'm making the money, right? I am the broker of the year.
They just use you to do what they got because they know we resilient. They know we hard work. But do not come up against them, brothers. Okay, I'm calling them brothers. You know what I mean. But don't come against them, bros, because guess what? They will remind you still just a feel without me saying it. Hello.
And I had the nerve to tell one of my managers one time, and he sent something in a report. I said, "Hey, no, bro, you're gonna change this." And I'm thinking, you know, sure. What are you gonna do? I make more money than he does. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I came off of how in the world you could get fired while you're on vacation? I got fired. Dr. Sims, this is a true story. Dr. Dimmer,
I know
no.
It is.
It's a true story. You know, and this story of my life. Wow. I don't wow. care. Hey, look here. From the church house to the brokerage house. Okay. Okay. I've been kicked out of both of them. I don't care.
Wow. I wouldn't brag about it,
man. I am bragging. Because guess what?
Oh, hey, my
you know
goodness.
What? Right is right and wrong is wrong. I don't care yeah. who you are. I really don't care. Wow. You're not, look here. Okay, I was going to say something that wouldn't be appropriate, but that's okay. Let me move right along
glad
right
God,
now.
I'm glad God is working on this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But you know what? William, you said something earlier that we're going to get into it, and I'm kind of anxious about this because I've got my theory on this. Okay? It's still under investigation in my mind. That's what theory is. Okay? My thing is about how they expedited these police officers. With this Memphis case. And when I'm thinking, okay, they expedite them real quick, trial,
real quick,
guilty, everything. And to me, here's my thought process. Yeah, what they did was foul. Okay. And I believe that they targeted this man. I believe it in every aspect. However, we still got some white brothers that still on the, still, they still investigating, mm-hmm. and they did much worse than some of them. You understand what I'm saying? And so,
yeah,
they still under investigation, but the film is showing you everything, but yet mm-hmm. they want to tell you you're not seeing what is showing. I'm not stupid, nor am I crazy.
Right.
And so people, they want to, there's still a difference that's being made. And somebody said this, and I was looking at YouTube, and the brother said it so profound. He said, it's amazing how right away, boom, 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 everything, boom, 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 boom. And I says, okay. And then they were all brothers. But then, too, he made the comparison. He says, so then why is it they couldn't expedite the time at the others that they know is they still trying to find a loophole to get these men off so they can keep their jobs? Because, and folks, listen, I told you again, mm-hmm. I am not prejudiced, okay? I'm so mixed up, no. I'm a mutt as far as my bloodline. But my thing is this, is that when you see what wrong is wrong and what right is right, you see partiality, you see favoritism, you see people getting by, you see what you see. It is what it is, okay? They make, and we have to understand that, especially as a black American, they make an example out of us.
Absolutely.
Okay? It is what it is, folks, and you can talk sideways and you're probably going to get mad at Miss Cece, but I have a right to speak my mind just like everybody else. But I see what I see. But we want to walk mm-hmm. away and say, that's not what it is. It's just such a travesty. And I'm talking about my people. It's such a travesty. Mm-hmm. We see all this going on and blah, blah, blah. We see what they did to this young man. Yes, I still say it was foul. But we got some still under investigation, still getting a paycheck, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Been just suspended. Should have their behinds in jail because of the stuff that they did. How you gonna shoot a paraplegic in the back and he running away from you, but yet you still, some of them, mm-hmm. they get thrown out of cage. They were in their right to do that. You know, they make concessions for other people, but us, we get put on the chopping block.
That's exactly right. And you're 1,000,000% correct about that. Dr. Dimmer, I want you to jump in because that's why I brought it up. I looked at how expeditiously
yes.
these brothers were found out, fired, prosecuted, charged, and then you look at Sister Brianna, okay, that lost her life in that apartment. And you got police that were shooting all over the place, even it almost, and put the life of the neighbors in jeopardy too, because the bullets went into the neighbors' apartments.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Look at brother Ahmaud Arbery and these clowns, these yahoos. That's right. Okay. Probably use the same toothbrush. Anyway, these yahoos, they killed this man. And if it wasn't for further investigation, they would have gotten off because the DA is crooked too. I'm waiting for her to go to jail.
Wow.
Okay. Because one of the guys, the dad that was there, that assisted in all of this. I think the son shot him, okay? But the three of them hunted this man down, okay? I think the dad at one point worked for the DA. Are you listening to me right now? Okay. So she didn't do her job. As a matter of fact, she tried to cover it up. And she was under investigation. I haven't heard anything about that, but she should be in prison. excuse me. Where's the mute button? Anyway, she should be in prison right now. That's the DA, the district attorney. And when you start talking about fair justice, Dr. Demery, I'm all about fair justice if it's distributed equally. But when you, like Dr. Sim was saying, when it's unequal, and I'm paraphrasing Dr. Sims, right? Mm-hmm. When it's administered unequally, that makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me sick. Because if you look at the George Floyd case, these officers didn't go down as quickly as these black men in Memphis. Okay? You look at all these other cases that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Sims, they are still pending. So how all of a sudden, because you got, and guess what? These black brothers need to be put under the jail. I'm going to say that right now. Because what they did was cruel. It was cruel. It was evil. Now, let's see the same thing done to these white officers that killed our brothers and sisters. And when I said brothers and sisters, I don't care what color you are. You can be white. Because there are some white people that have been punished and shouldn't have and deserve that, perhaps because if you look at our society right now, Dr. Demery, the first thing they look at other than your skin is your money. You got enough money. You got enough clout, bro. Okay. You got a better chance than some of us poor people out here. So it does that. And I think there's still an unequal amount of injustice done to our brothers. But also, I think it has to do along the racial and economic lines, Dr. Demery.
Well, I think just real briefly here, I'll comment. I think that goes back to part of the critical race theory. And it also includes the fact that when you're in power, or Paul Tillich, a theologian, said that absolute power corrupts absolutely. We've seen what happens with a lot of these people. So we mix the critical race theory with the fact that absolute power corrupts you absolutely. I mean, look at Trump. Trump felt like he was untouchable. And nothing happened to him no matter what he did. He felt as he had absolute power and he could do whatever he wanted to do. Well, sadly mistaken about that. But you mix that with the critical race theory, it's, you know, an equation for a deadly process towards the end. And so a lot of these folks think that they have absolute power and they are untouchable.
You're so right about that, Dr. Sims.
You know,
and this is in your wheelhouse, Dr. Sims. Okay, I got a question for you. Because it's definitely in your wheelhouse, because let's talk about the psychology of man. Let's talk about that. Because Dr. Demery hit something that's, I think, profoundly important. And that is, some of us, when we get a little something, when we get a little something, we think we're somebody. Now, which is so backwards, because we should have thought about that we're somebody. And everybody's somebody before we got something. Now, I'm gonna tell you from a personal experience. Because I had to calm down a little bit. I've had ups and downs, oh my God. I don't know which is which in my life, right? And I know that when I was on top of the world, I felt a certain power. And I had to be very confident. I had to be very, oh my God, observant of that, because I didn't want it to get out of control because I had more than I had, and I have more than you have, doesn't make me better than you. And some people like that power thing. Okay, well, I can afford that. She can't, or he can't. Come on, man. That is a mentality that's in this world, to do better. One up your brother. Well, I got a bigger house than he got. Man, who cares? You got a bigger house, and then you raise more hell than anybody. Because it ain't right. Because your spirit isn't right. And so what I'm saying is, I've had situations where I had a nice sum of money, and I felt myself, uh-oh, no, William, don't cross that line. You are still no better than anybody else. Because you have some coins in your pocket doesn't make you better or superior or anything like that. Okay? And I think what happens is some people, when they attract a certain amount of wealth, that becomes a drug to them. And they would keep that and acquire that no matter what the cost. Dr. Sims, please, I would love for you to comment now, please.
You know, and it's good that you brought this out, because some people cannot take change in their atmosphere. And the reason why I say that is because then pride is different. You know, it depends on how you use that pride. One of the things that I found out, even in counseling, I had a young lady, she says when she puts on a certain dress, it changes her persona. And it does something to their psyche. And if she puts on something that looks poorly, she thinks poorly of herself, and vice versa with the man. But when you were saying something about money equates in the world today as power. The more you have, the more they want, because it gives them more power. You have those in the upper echelon. You know, they have all the artifacts, they have this, and they have competition with one another. Me, I'm a little peon. I'm not even up there with them, okay? I can't even negotiate because I'm not up there with them. But they have these treasures that they're stored up. The Bible said, don't lay up treasures in heaven. He didn't say nothing about down here on earth. But they've got their mindset is twisted. Because God said, well, ruts and moss can get a hold of those things and tear it up, you know? And then what good is it? And the treasures, your mindset should be, how rich can I get in the word of the Lord? How rich can I get with walking with God, getting the knowledge in him? But again, as Dr. Demery, and I'm going to piggyback on him, we have to reflect back to the word of God. Who is the author of all of this kind of going on? Who is the author? Look at Satan. With his proud self, remember? He thought he was to be equal or better than God. That is pride. And so guess what? He got down here and got, I got all of this, you know, and this is all mine, even though he got kicked out of heaven. Still, that pride, okay? The arrogance. And so people, when they get this money, let me tell you something, they get a personality change. And that's why I say sometimes some folk don't need $10 and two nickels. And I'll say that comically, because when they had $2, they were humble. They were sweet. They were loving. They were kind. They were compassionate. But because now they've got $10 and four nickels, they look down on the people that they used to hang with. Why is that? The persons haven't changed. It's the ones who came up a little bit. Instead of pulling your brother up and your sister up out of their dilemmas and helping them, then they gravitate towards a selfish spirit. And I'm not saying everybody, but that's where selfish, God tells us to be selfless. And God can bless some of us, and I'm not going to put my name in that equation. I just say some of y'all in this, because you will get out of character. You forget. One of the things the Lord reminded me, he said, have I so long saved you from this, that, and the other? Then why are you going to look down on your brother and your sister who was still in that dilemma? You can't do that. If I bless you here, okay, I'm entrusting you with this, but I'm not blessing you so you can look down on your next door neighbor, even in your family members. We got family members that do that to each other. But we have to look at the orchestrator who has done this. And the competition spirit is terrible. Why would I need to compete with you? The Bible says the master, there's a parable in the Word of God that talks about the master who handed out talents according to their ability. But the one who got the one talent hid the talent, didn't even do anything with it. But when the master approached him, he got arrogant with the master and told the master, well, you never till the land. You didn't do this and you didn't do that. And I'm paraphrasing with the story. The master told him, he says, you know what? You couldn't have put it in the bank. You could have earned some, dividends from it. But what you did was you hid it, okay? And a lot of times, because you don't get what the next man has, you get jealous. But God deals with us according to our ability. Some of us can't handle $1 million right now if we were to get it, because we just get all out of character. We start looking down on people who helped you when you didn't have two eggs. You needed to fry an egg. And I'm coming real common with this. Or you needed a couple pieces of bread, you know, to make a sandwich, or you were poor, but you get some money, and then you walk past the people who helped you. And that is not right. You have to do a mind change. And that's why some folk can't get rich. I'll just put it like that. Some folks, well, the Bible says the poor you're going to have with you always. And I'm jumping here and there. But the Bible says the poor you have with you always. And that's not because of them not being able to handle the finance. It just, the Lord said the poor you're going to have with you always. But I believe that if you had a good relationship with the Lord, he knows how to keep you humble. I had somebody tell me, stay humble, you know, because I'm working the gifts that God has. And Dr. Demmer, you can jump in on this too. I'm working the gifts that God has me doing. And then you have those that will get jealous of you because God is really doing his thing with you. And they'll tell you, you need to stay humble, girl. And I'm like, where am I arrogant? No, I've gotten bold and confident in the Word of God and what I'm doing, but it makes you feel uncomfortable because I'm no longer down in that depressive, you know, insignificance feeling within myself. But I'm standing on what God has given me. So we have got to get out of this, and then too, we as a people, and it's a known fact, we keep each other suppressed and down in the dungeons, because that's where some folks want to stay. So I hope I'm making myself clear that we cannot do a personality change because you get X amount of dollars or you achieve goals and things like that. That's like I say, people who are papered up with the education and knowledge. Like I was telling somebody, I said, some of them are walking in statuses as doctors and therapists, and thank God bless them that God allowed them to achieve that. But don't start acting stupid with the friends who persevere with you and help you study and who hung with you and knew you when you didn't have. You gonna walk around arrogant? A lot of people do that. A lot of children do that with their parents because their parents might not be up to par in the education level. Then you gonna talk down to your parent, but and you forget that they are the ones who mama's worked in 4 or 5 jobs, okay? House cleaning to get you through college, but then you're going to turn around and be arrogant and throw it in their face and say that they make you look little in other people's eyes if your parents were to be with you in certain arenas. That's not fair. That's not right. That is not right at all. And God frowns on that. What you've achieved today, it can be gone tomorrow. And people need to understand that. It can be gone. It don't take nothing. And we talk about stock markets and stuff like that. That's why I told those, I say it and I'll say it real. If you depended on that to get you over into a flight to the moon, wherever y'all think you going, okay, let me tell you something. You'll run out of gas. I'm going to say it. Run out of gas midway. The engine could fall off. Come on. Here. I saw a movie said, don't look up. And I say, wait a minute. There was an astronaut coming. And she told me, they knew was coming. See, that's the thing. And when they know, I know I'm just talking, I'm rambling on. But anyway, they looked up and they got in a spaceship and flew to some moon. But the scripture said, naked I came into the world and naked I'm going to leave. And they all got off naked and the birds shot their head off. I said, yeah, paradise tore y'all up since that's where you going. Hello, somebody. So y'all got beside yourself because you thought your little money to carry you to a place where you don't have to suffer bad air that you call. Come on, Dr. It is what it is, okay? And so we cannot get comfortable, y'all. See, you got me on the roll, William. Okay, you got me on the roll.
Then I'm doing my job.
You cannot. And wait a minute. They went to a place that looked like paradise. It looked like heaven. And this man looked like Dr. Fauci. Okay, they was at the White House, and he was talking crazy. He looked like Fauci. I said, are they telling us what the real is right here? And he was telling her some kind of Dr. Bird was going to chew off the president's head. And they was up in the White House smoking weed and everything else they doing. Okay, tell it all, Dr. Sims, okay? And she told the people, don't look up. Well, the asteroid was coming. Lord. She was lying to the people, okay? But they already had the ship.
Oh,
and that's
my goodness.
What I said. Y'all going to run out of gas. Engine going to fall off. And everything. And when you get to paradise, the pterodactyl going to be waiting on y'all. And they got off the ship. When I say butt naked, they was butt naked. I said, reminds me of the word of God. And it was a place that looks like beautiful. When I say beautiful, it was beautiful. But them birds came and they started petting them and they pulled their head off. So now what? Now,
Dr. Sims, I just want to know.
Yes, what?
Do you drink coffee?
I only have one cup of coffee. Look, I'm hyper-like this anyway.
Is it dark roast, Colombian?
My coffee is
the
very
Holy
high.
Ghost.
I can't take it because I'm already high energy. Oh. Always, because I did a lot of sports in school. But when you get me talking about a subject that I'm passionate about, I talk with passion, and some folks think
I want the passion. Dr. Demery, when Dr. Sims first came on, okay, and she said, I don't know, I don't want to come off, and I'm paraphrasing Dr. Sims. I don't want to come off too strong or whatever, you know. I said, I want Dr. Sims to be Dr. Sims. Didn't I tell you that?
You did, but William, let me share something with you too. And because I've been shut down most of my years coming up as a young woman, I've been told to be quiet and not to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I saw a lot, been through a lot. But baby, now that I done growed up, okay, I'm just saying it like that one country.
Oh boy.
Now I'm grown and I know. Stop laughing, William. Now I'm grown, okay, and know what this girl is working with. Come on, Lord. Here. Y'all can stand on the sideline talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda. Too bad. You shoulda, coulda, woulda when you had the chance. But now, I'll say it, family members want me to hush. I don't care. I told you, when God gave me my handle, it's on and crack-a-lackin'. Okay? I'm gonna tell everything. Everything that's given to me. Y'all hear me well. You doing it in the dark, in the booth, in the back. I'm telling. I'm calling out names, so God said I can.
You know, Dr. Demery, there was an old saying years ago, Katie, bar the door. Katie missed her assignment when it came to Dr. Sims. The floodgates are open. The barn door is wide open. And whatever comes out, it is what it is.
Jesus unlocked the chain from this world.
God, that reminds me.
My mind, so guess what? It's on. But I love y'all. I really do.
I love having you. I'm so glad you're on. It's been funny.
And
it's
I'm
been.
I'm not old as Black Pepper either. Maybe in knowledge. Hello.
Dr. Demery?
I think, you know, the most, at least for me, and you know, I'm hard on preachers, William.
Yeah.
One of the baddest things in the world is to see a minister that is not humble, minister not willing to make sacrifices, a minister that is not willing to, stand up for the good news.
Yes.
That's what happens with a lot of these Christian nationalists. The party and these, you know, and the Tea Party and all the rest of them groups.
Man.
Around, they are on an agenda as opposed to being on God's agenda.
Wow, come on.
You get on an agenda that you think is your own, And it's not yours. It's just what the world is telling you to get behind, as opposed to allowing the Spirit of God to initiate what you say and what you do. And I think that's the sad part, because I would say for most of them, and I can't speak, I'm very careful with saying all, but I would say most of them know better.
They do.
What's gonna, you know, really hurt them, because Martin Luther King said, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in a time of moral crisis will sacrifice their neutrality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're right, Dr. Demery, they know, and I tell you, I grew up with a fear of playing with God. God knows I've committed sins. He knows that. But to get up there, I would never. And Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims, because I'm so passionate in my broadcast and even off air, many have approached me. And some people thought I was a preacher. I said, oh, no. And some said, oh, you should be a preacher. I said, oh, no. Women, hold it. There's the last thing I'm going to do is get
there's
up in that pulpit.
There's a thing called running, too, from your call.
Well, no, because, okay. Oh, my God. No. I said, I'm not going to get up there and I'm not going to pretend.
Right.
I'm going to say what it is, who I am, and go forward. All right. And so I'm a single man. Okay. I can see me right now in the pulpit and some of these fine sisters be coming in there and I get off the word.
William, stop.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. Okay, let's be honest, okay?
Well, you being honest.
Because,
yeah,
oh, now let me tell you where I'm going with this. A lot of these preachers get up there in the pulpit, and they'll proclaim something that they're not. Or they would talk about the flesh. They would talk about all this. And then behind closed doors is a whole different deal going on. Okay? For whatever I'm doing. You know, if to me, I said, okay, Lord, I know I'm still sinning and stuff like that. And some people say, well, okay, you might be missing your calling, whatever it is. I think my calling is doing exactly what I'm doing right now until things change that, like Dr. Demery said, when he was called to the ministry, he could not sleep. Am I right, Dr. Demery? He could not sleep. And he said he
wrestled. Hooked him and I couldn't get it off of me.
I got you.
You see him going?
I got you.
Okay.
I know the feeling.
And well, the feeling I have is to do what I'm doing right now.
Right.
That could change.
Well, but you know what? I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because anywhere God puts us, you make a mark. God has his hand in it. There is a mark. One of the things I gather from you, William, is that you could not be a hypocrite. That's what I'm hearing. And
yes,
too, because of your reverence for God. People don't reverence God like they should these days. That's why they can do anything. I was just sitting down and I was kind of reminiscing and fellowshipping with the Lord as I do. And I was just in puzzlement, not really puzzlement, but questioning God. Why? How is it that they can do this and have no thought process of shame because their life does not line up to that they talk about, and they have no fear, okay, of misappropriating God's children, misappropriating his name, even their walk, and their agendas are filed. But I also, in Dr. Demery's biblical, reflect on the word of God, and it says men are carried away through the lust of their own flesh. They would rather believe a lie than the truth. But here's the thing that they've been doing. They've been doing this for years. How can you get out of bed with somebody else that's not your wife and you still come up in the pulpit. My husband, when he was alive, used to tell me some things. How can you do that and then come up and preach a message and jump and shout like you've been saved all day? No evil have you done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And being an example, coming to find out. And I'm glad you opened this up, because I'm finding out there's more exposure that is happening mm-hmm. in this position. Because Dr. Demery said a bit that there is a place in hell, definitely.
Mm.
Because the Word of God says he's going to judge the teachers and preachers and pastors and teachers. He's going to judge them more harsh than the lay people, because they are supposed to be sharing and living mm-hmm. an example for God. And so my thing is, there is no reverence, there is no fear. If there had been fear, they would have a repentant heart. Many of them don't even want to repent and say they're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They sanction their deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a clan in the church. See, this is what bothers me.
Oh, boy. Come on now.
Who co-signs, I got your back, you got mine. Okay? And then for the little preacher who wants to stand on the Word of God, who wants to preach the Word of God, the unadulterated, and live the life that God requires, they isolate him or her. And they put them on the island of Patmos. And then you bet not say nothing, because I found out through my years of study and observing, they will send out character assassins, just like they're doing in the world. The same thing. Assassins on the little man, okay?
Of course.
And even those in the upper echelon, if they don't bite the bullet and stay in that echelon and do what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
they will assassinate your name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the stuff. There's some parts in our walk with God, we have to be separate from the world, what the world is doing. But I'm seeing a lot of there's no separation, not in all places, in many places there is no separation. And when we talk about these preachers, you're talking about shifting their attitude, money, fame, gain, enslavement among body of believers at the mm-hmm. hands of those who say that God has put them in these positions. God is not twisted. Many of them he have. The Word of God says it did run well, what hindered you. But there's many of them that saw a good thing, okay, that they can run to. Like I said, my thing is from prison to the pulpit, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, no kind of accountability.
Excuse
and
me.
Like Dr. Demery say, they about as dumb as a box of rocks. That's what Dr. Demery said. All right. Don't go to school. Learn two scriptures. Piggybacking off of somebody else they done idolized. And taking up the same persona as an individual. Don't want to suffer. And more so, they don't want to serve anybody.
Oh, my God.
They are not humble. I'm seeing this trend, and if you mess with their almighty money, because their money is their God.
That's
it.
You mess
with their money. Money is the root. The love of money is the root of evil.
That's it.
Money answers all things. I understand that. But the love of it, where it takes God out of the equation, and now you're running after filthy lucre and not caring about the souls of mine. Let me stop talking.
No, I don't want you to stop talking, because that it has become their God. Their money has become their God, and they will sell out anything. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. I recall several years ago, and I was living here at that time, and I recall this wealthy couple. And they did have a fair amount of wealth, and it was a white family. Some of the nicest people I've ever met. And I was in the home improvement industry at that time, way before I became a financial advisor. And I recall visiting with these people, and they sit down, and see, normally they wanted something improved on their home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been the type of representative to know, I want to find out who you are, you know, what do you want, what do you envision, and what are your dreams, and that way I can develop a plan or whatever it is to accomplish. And I use that model in all of my businesses, right? I'm not doing that anymore. Okay. Don't call me up to ask me to say I need my roof fixed. I don't do that stuff. Okay. But anyway, and the elderly couple and the dad had to be in his late 80s, and the mom probably a little bit younger. Nice home and stuff like that. And they wanted me to design something on their home. I had to do something with the patio and carport or whatever it was, right? And they felt compelled to tell me this about their son, their only son, which they brought up, fed, clothed, never had a job, sent to a school, vet school, stuff like that, and he became a lawyer. And the dad told me a sad story. And I don't know why he told me this. He said, and the mom was sitting right there. And he said, our son, God. Dad needed to have, he had an appointment one day that week. And the dad, he couldn't drive anymore. And the dad asked his son to come pick him up, take him to an appointment, and bring him back home. Well, the son, with all of everything, said, well, look, okay, I'll pick you up. Okay, rudely. He picked him up, and on the way back, he said, look, don't call me again while I'm busy. The next time, I'm going to take your skinny ass and just throw you on the back porch and leave you.
Who said that to him?
The son said this to his daddy, who did everything for him. So going back to what we're talking about, and you and Dr. Demery, you guys were talking about this money and how this overpowers people to the point that humanity is out of the window. Dr. Sims, this was his dad. This was his mom, okay, who gave him everything. And now he's told them, I can't wait for y'all to die.
Oh.
Because he knows he's going to get everything. So when you start talking about, we start talking about opening this show. We only have a few minutes to go. How does critical race theory tie us into any of the things that we're talking about? Okay?
And to be disrespectful.
Greed. And there's two elements, and I'm going to let you and Dr. Demery talk right now. Two words I want to bring up. Greed and fear. Dr. Sims, first.
Well, you brought up something about the young man, how he talked to his father, and we have a society, and I have to reflect on the Bible. We have a wise generation that are weak. And they are, God says, separate yourself from this untoward generation.
Talk up a little bit, Dr. Sims. Talk up a little bit,
I'm
sweetie.
I'm sorry. That has no reference, an untoward generation towards God. They seek the things that are evil. They want popcorn, microwave gratification. And they are guided by their flesh. It has nothing to do with a lot of them. I'm not going to say all of them. But a lot of them are spoiled and have a sense of entitlement. But this, too, is how the parent has been, the discipline, the parenting has been taken away from them. And you have to put fault where it lies. Our government has taken the discipline out of our homes. And so, therefore, the child has no relevance. I think you have some children who are very, very spoiled, who are accustomed to getting everything. And in this dispensation, these children are getting iPhones, they're getting iPads, they're getting top-of-the-line stuff, okay? Whereas me and you and Dr. Demery, child, I'll be glad to get a transistor radio that costs $2, I'm just saying.
And they didn't work either.
And they sure didn't work. They worked for 2 minutes and they was out, gone, okay? And you better not say nothing, okay? I'm just saying. But the thing is this, is that... and maybe an orange, okay? Okay, that's it. Anyway, but this generation, they're wiser and weaker, and they're wise beyond their years. but the respect level is almost little to none. That's why these children can kill their parents. I saw one, I was reading about him. He killed his mother and laughed about it afterwards. And so they have no fear. And then too, we have to also understand what is guiding, what is at an all-time high, demonic infestation. Come on, let's deal with this. Where people have, it just rises up in them, just like out of the blue, okay? Where they have no filters and no sense of conscience, rationale, should I say, use this word, rationale, and thinking a thing through. They're spontaneous, they act, and because they want self-gratification, and don't deny them. How dare you deny me? Their arrogance come in. They're selfish, okay? Again, folks, I'm not saying everybody, but for the most part, what we are raised, what has been, colonized now is because people, authority has been taken away from the parent, which that child was put in the parent's care. How are you going to put children in people's care who don't even care for their own children? Okay, I say this. Hello. And, you know, just giving them everything. And I hope this is answering your question, William, but it's just a travesty. I can go to the store now, I mean, and see a child tell his mama, I'm going to kick your when I get you home. It's not nice. And I walk past with my old traditional self. And see, children know who they can pull that with, too. Okay, I'm just saying. And I walk past him. I say, if you don't get your tail up right, he was kicking and bucking, but my face was fierce. And see, I don't take that from a child because that was out of order. And I told the mama, I said, when he gets you home, he gonna get you, okay? Because you will not. Well, the police. I said, look, you tell the police when they come, if I don't beat his butt, you will. And I know this to be facts, okay? My son did this one time with me, and he told me, I'm calling the authorities. I said, by the time you get there, you're going to be in a pine box ready to go, okay? Because you're not coming in here because I was square off in your chest, okay? And ask my oldest boy. He came from boot camp, thought he was going to handle his mama. Wrong again, son. I'm from the project. Hello. And he had to back up off his mama, okay? It is what it is because they get to smelling themselves, and you got to be there to redirect that thing, but do it in love. And they know you love them. But these kids nowadays, they could care less if you love them. They have a sense of entitlement. Give me what I want. If you don't, then guess what? I'm going to get it one way or the other. And it's going to be your fault if I get something my way and get killed. Okay?
I've got a story to tell you. Dr. Dimmer, do you remember this story? When my mom was living, we would talk each and every Sunday. Okay, I'm in California, she's in Virginia, right? And so one Sunday morning, we were talking and just having a great, great conversation. And one of my brothers, who had to move back home for whatever reason or whatever, and I think he was somewhere around the age of 21 or whatever it is. He was fresh out of the army, and he had spent a tour of duty in Panama. That's a whole nother story because psychologically it changed him, the way he was living and things of that nature. And we have to talk about this on another program. But the point is he came in and it was breakfast time, on a Sunday morning. And so my mom and we're talking. He came in the kitchen. And so my mom said, hey, you're not going to say good morning or anything? And he did something that was real stupid. He said, damn you. Oh, Lord. Ooh. I heard the phone drop. I heard a clunk. She said, damn, you almost broke my shoulder. She said, I was aiming for your head. She had clocked him with a cast iron skillet. I've never experienced that. Dr. Demery, you ever been hit with a cast iron skillet?
I can only imagine. I told this before too. I was in the store once, and I saw this little boy. He could have been no more than 2 or 3 years old. He was whipping his mama.
Oh,
see?
He was whipping his mama. If that would have been me and my parents,
no.
It would have been launched into space if I was that child.
See, you know? It wouldn't have gotten that far.
I don't know where these preachers are coming from nowadays, and you've heard me use this phrase before, and I'll use it again now. Many of them are just breath and britches.
Man. That's all.
They're just breath and britches.
And looking for a paycheck.
Shame, because people who are really hurt by this are their congregations and the people that listen to them. And the thing about it is when you don't allow the Spirit of God to influence you, to redirect you where you need to go and be humble enough to, I was wrong. Something's wrong. I was talking to a guy just today, and he's come from a really big family, and they listen to him because he's the older one in the family. He said, you don't have to go to church. I said, what? He said, oh, no, you don't have to go to church. He said, you don't have to tithe. And I said, well, why did Paul write half the New Testament to the churches, to Galatia, to Philippi, to Corinthians, to Thessalonica? Why did he write all the letters to those churches? Because he was trying to encourage those people. Why did he write the pastoral epistles? Because he was trying to encourage those folks. And so you got people out there that are just teaching bad stuff.
Man.
Poor people are being taken up by craziness and this madness, you know? And I think the preacher that is effective is the one that allows themselves to listen to God and allow God to use them as a conduit, as a spokesperson, and they attempt to give the best verbal offering that God has given them to give to the people and not give what they think the people need. Because those effective sermons is when God is able to speak through you and use you as a fulcrum, to use you as a instrument of God's word. And when you cease to do that, you're headed down the wrong path. And you're headed for tragedy, and you will end up in a pit somewhere.
Yeah.
I told you about this one pastor. I think I mentioned it. He wanted to excuse me, Lord. But he was old. He wanted his deacons to lift his big butt up on a chair and carry him into the church.
Are you serious?
Did you believe that? First of all, they'd have broke their back carrying into church, you know. And I said, the highest form of hypocrisy that I've ever heard. He wanted them to carry his big butt into the church, lift it up the chair, you know, they carry him in.
See?
That's nonsense. And the people don't know no better because they haven't been taught.
And see, I bet the church was packed. I bet you the church was packed.
I'm sure you're right.
It was packed.
Come on, man. See, this is the type of nonsense, Dr. Sims, that goes on and it happens. Think about how vast this country is. Think about how many churches there are. I don't know how many churches there are in the United States. Okay? But see, this is the problem. If you got the majority, I would say a major majority of the churches that's preaching the right thing. And guys, I know we're going over just a few minutes, but I can't let this go. If you have the majority of churches, Dr. Sims, preaching the right thing, society will be better. But what happens is a major influence in society are our churches. And if you got knuckleheads, you got demons, you got people that thieves and things of that nature that's in the pulpit that's indoctrinating our people. It's got to hurt.
Well, you know what, William? They have to tell the truth. I was going to piggyback on Dr. Dimery. When you talk about these knuckleheads, it is so. Ezekiel was a heavy prophet. And there are certain elders from Israel came seeking a word from the Lord. And even when they were high status, Ezekiel was called of God. and they may have put him in a low status, but he was also a prophet. He told them, he said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces vile stumbling blocks of their wickedness and guilt. And so what he's telling them is that you have allowed yourself to honor yourself more high. When he was talking about the man being carried in church, out. Look at Eddie Long. They did that to Eddie Long with his sinful self. And they paraded his sin as far as I was concerned. They put him in a chair, put a robe and a crown on him. And I know that was a setup. She dropped $1 million on the pulpit. They know they got that out the bank.
Look.
They gave her the money that was already in there.
It's
and
a
so
scam.
Then they gave him a scroll and had a false prophet prophesying over him. That man, he know he went whoring with those young men. But they idolized his sin, okay? And Dr. Demi, I'm sure he can attest to this. God tells us to work on our own soul salvation. Form your own relationship. Stop being so ignorant. Get in the word of God yourself. What you don't understand, he will share with you. Don't believe everything that comes out of everybody's mouth, because a whole lot of them are preaching in error, as Galatians 5 says. They're preaching heresies and they're preaching in error. And we got a lot of these jacklegs up there because we forget, folks, that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. He knows the word. He got hirelings. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Y'all rise up and get in the face of God.
Hey, look, we're going to do this real quick. We've got about 3 minutes. And I want to go to you, Dr. Demery. I got to come back to you, Dr. Sims, because you got to tell us about Miss CeCe's kitchen, because you already fired up. Are you getting heated up for Thursday already? Good Lord.
That's right.
Anyway, a couple of things. Another major influence. See, this is a problem, folks, that we need to pay attention to and fight against when it's not right. Dr. Sims and Dr. Demery just told you about these churches, and we're going to pick this up next week along with Black History Month. I had some stuff pulled up that we didn't even get a chance to. No, seriously. I had stuff pulled up we didn't even get a chance to get to yet. Honoring.
Well, you brought up about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I sure did. I'm not going to blame either you or Dr. Demery for this, because the conversation that we had is absolutely necessary to our objective, because we want to honor Black history, and all of this is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you really go back to it, the wealth that was first created in this country, where did it come from?
Mm.
Off of the backs . Do I need to say anything else?
Mm-mm.
Do I really need to say anything else? Come on, folks. And we're going to continue this conversation next week. All right? But I got to say this. Not only from the pulpit, but from our government. Mm-hmm. And what really appalls me, Dr. Demery, and I don't know any perfect Christians. I don't know any perfect religious people. I don't know any perfect spiritual people. However, but when you start talk to religion, you can count me out. Okay? I'm not about the religion. I'm about the spirit. Okay? And what's real? What's true? But when you also have people that are in power, that are calling the shots, that want to invoke Jesus and God into their speeches, that is absolutely appalling to me. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Demery, then go to you, Dr. Sims, because I think that's a doggone shame that these devils are talking about Jesus and God. That is appalling.
Because I know
we're over, yeah.
When I think about these idiots like Santos,
oh,
yes.
A bold-faced lie. about what he had done, his accolades, and this and that and the other. It's a shame, and people think that it's okay.
That's right.
Get that knucklehead out of there. He should have been fired right after he made these crazy claims and it came out that he lied. You know? And so it comes down to the fact what America will accept.
Oh, boy.
It comes down to the fact what church folks will accept.
Come on now.
You know, and I tell my folks, and I'll end with this, don't sit there and believe what I tell you. You That's open right. your Bible yeah. up and you go search the word for yourself. I'm just a voice. I'm just a vehicle in a position to try to give you what God gives me to give you every Sunday. But you have to go search this stuff out for yourself. Yeah. And I tell people, bring your Bible to church so you can open the word up and read it as I'm reading the word
right.
when it comes time to read the scripture so you can go back home and study it. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Wow. And I'll tell you something. And I know I have the pleasure of knowing Dr. Sims and Dr. Demery. And Dr. Demery, he and I, we've been buddies a long, long time. And he used to be the string bass guitarist for the male chorus. I loved it. And Dr. Demery, he played his bass, right? And when I got up to sing, he said, "Brother Brown, throw your head back and just sing." It was so much fun. But what I want to say is, I've also been to his church. And I love going there because picture this. It's quaint. It is comfortable. And he will get up and he will preach. And exactly what he said. He would tell his congregation, okay, study yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Don't take my word for it. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed being there. And again, I love going there too because he would feed you after too. Dr. Grimm, Dr. Demery throws down a mean pot of greens too.
Okay. All right. Don't make me go in there and cook some greens, Jesus.
So much fun. Okay. And we're talking about the Mentone Congregational Church. Dr. Demery, where is it located?
We're at 1304 Barrel Avenue, right on Highway 38. Come anytime you want, Sundays at 10 a.m.
It's great. I love it. I love it too. And that is on the West Coast, folks. Dr. Sim,
yes,
let's
sir.
Talk about, how many, you got his fire extinguishers there in the, Miss DC's kitchen.
Wait a minute. We don't want to put the fire.
Oh, she ain't putting it out either.
No, we want to keep it stirred up and make you think. This is Miss Cece's kitchen. Is here every Thursday at 4 p.m. and on 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we stir up controversial issues of the good, bad, and the ugly. And so it's getting hot and heavy. And so we got some people that come on there that just is crazy as I am.
Oh, Lord.
She's awesome. I've got a beautiful co-host. She is anointed. She's a seer, but she would get down with the nitty gritty.
Oh, my God.
And so we got a lot to bring to you because a lot's been exposed, even on my bed of affliction. God's been doing a lot of talking. So, and you folks that don't want the real to come out, maybe it's best if you don't come by because we can tell the real. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about pastors, preachers, all y'all.
And you also you also talk about me too. Okay.
Oh, so. Yeah. We put you in the room. Jesus is my captain. He gonna write out all of your prescriptions in the room.
I heard that. Oh, what an excellent, excellent broadcast. Thank you so much. Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery. You know, when the first I said, okay, it's going to be the three of us. I said, you know, where you and Dr. Demery like to talk, I will be okay anyway. So I figured.
William, you need to quit. Mr. Motormouth himself.
Oh, Lord. And she'll call me Motormouth. Hey, folks, I don't know how many. I don't know how many names she's already given me. Okay, write them down for me.
Yes, I know. Well, Dr. Demery called you Tasmanian.
He did do that, didn't he? Okay, and who knows what Ann got for me? Oh my God!
Oh, Lord.
Oh my goodness! Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery. It's always my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, coming up in about 45 minutes, it's Sunday Night Gold. Studio W Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, you know we circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The finest. Pleasure.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.